Glory to God. Well, let's look at Matthew 6, verse 24. That's something that this has been on my heart for a while. And so we're going to get started on some things this morning, I believe. And then continue. Matthew 6, 24. It says, No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Before we go forward, just so you could see this, in the NLT, then we'll move forward in the New King James, but the NLT, verse 24, says, No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then we'll pick up verse 25 in the New King James. It says, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, those without God. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So if we go back to verse 24 where this starts, you know, Jesus... The Bible was not written in chapter and verse, and this is all one continuous. I mean, Jesus is speaking for a long time in all these things. If you go back, there's a lot of red, if you have a red-letter Bible. Red-letter Bible is not good or bad, just whatever you prefer. The whole Word of God is inspired, okay? So it doesn't. Those words are not special, they just are what Jesus spoke, but red-letter Bibles are fairly new, you know, last 100 years or so or a little more, but that doesn't mean they're better. It just means some people like black letter. It's just easier to read. So anyway, but there's a lot of red. If we go to verse 24, so he's just speaking. So all this is, you know, you don't lift verses out of context. So we go back to verse 24, and we're going to read even some verses actually before these verses in a little bit, I believe. But it says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or like we read in the NLT, God and money. That's what he's talking about. You can't serve God and money. Now, if Jesus said you can't, then you can't. He said you're going to be loyal to one and despise the other, you're going to hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't do both. So then he goes through, and he's saying that. Then in verse 25, he says, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So he said in verse 25, therefore. So he just got done saying, you can't serve. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. And then he says, don't worry. He said, therefore, don't worry about your life. Why? And you're going to see, we're going to get to it. He's talking about how we should look at things, then don't worry about your life. He's not just saying don't worry about your life. It's in context. He's saying don't serve God. You can't serve God and money. You can't do both of these things. Therefore, don't worry about your life because you're not serving the money. You're not serving what would buy those things. Okay? Verse 28 then, so don't worry. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did I say the whole thing? Consider, worry about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Have you seen a lily? We had some given to us, and they're beautiful. I mean, they were just the grow up. I mean, just beautiful. And Jesus saying Solomon didn't look this good. Solomon was a king of Israel, and he was most powerful, richest person, and he was wise. And he said, in his all his glory, he didn't look that good. And he said, they're not doing anything to get that done. Verse 29. Yet I see that you and even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, in other words, it fades away. That the lilies last a lot less time than a human being. He said, so will he not much more clothe you, O of you little faith? Now, remember this all in context. He's going, if I take care of the lilies, I'm going to take care of you. So don't think about that. So then another therefore, verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? You could add to that list. Anything that money can buy, you could put there. Don't worry, saying, how are we going to make our house payment? How are we going to buy a house? How am I going to get a car? How am I going to send my kids to college? You could put anything in there. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Don't say these things. He said, therefore, because what? Because God is, he clothes the lilies of the field. He takes care of the birds. He said, don't try to serve the money. You can't serve both. Then he says all these things. Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. What? And put it in the list, of course. What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? But anything, money that can buy. That's what people without God, they seek it. They put it first. I got to get this. I got to get it. How am I going to do it? How am I going to? No, I got to figure this out. He said, don't do that. Notice what he said. After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. He knows. He knows what we need. It's not lost on God. God is not. We're spiritual, and then we got the natural. We know that, but we got to take care of the real stuff. That's a wrong perspective. That's what Jesus is addressing. That's wrong. That's acting like God's not real. That's acting like God doesn't know. That's acting like God doesn't know we have these things in the earth. But he said, you don't seek that stuff. You can't serve both. If you decide you're going to take care of the stuff, you're not going to serve God, because what do you do? Exactly what he's saying the Gentiles are doing. They are saying, yeah, but what am I? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And he said, you can't serve that. You seek God and he'll take care. That's what he's going to say right here. Don't worry about it. Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, the people without God seek, the unrenewed mind, the worldly mind seeks this stuff. And like we talking about it a few weeks ago on Wednesday nights, talking about the deceitfulness of riches. That's one of the things that sidelines people. They think the end game is to get as much stuff as you can. Get the best job so you can get the most money, so you can get the most stuff. That is not the point of life. That's not it. look at, we're in the middle here, just what, since I mentioned that. Look at Mark, you can put it up, Mark 4, in that middle of just what I just talked about. Oh, that's not what I, well, we'll look at that, but there's something else. Look at Mark 4, 18 and 19, if you can put that up. And we'll come back there real quick. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where is that? Mark 4, 18 and 19. Thank you. Thank you. You're always on it, Bill. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These things, and, you know, we're preaching on that or talking about that on Wednesdays. These things will actually choke the word. It lists the deceitfulness of riches. And I don't know offhand where it is, where is the parable where the man built barns and built more bigger barns. Anybody know where that is? Because there's a, it says at the end of that, his soul, I'll paraphrase, but if anybody finds it, call it out. This guy says, I've got so much money, man. What am I going to do? I got so much crops. He goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down the barns I have and build bigger barns, and I'm going to store all my stuff. And it says, God said to him that night, fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Then who's going to get the stuff? And it's what? Luke 12. Thank you. Well, let's just look it up. Luke 12, 12, what did you say, 20?
16 to 21.
Okay, I'm looking for the part of it that says, okay, so you have that whole area. So Luke 12, parable of the rich fool. You do not want a parable named like that after you. That is not, imagine this guy. I'm in the Bible. You know where it says rich fool? That was me. No. let's just look at it. No, go back. Oh, man. Let's just read this. Yeah, no, I'm going to go to 13. Luke 12, 13. I got to get over. I'm trying to fly over some stuff today. We're going to get there. But anyway, then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? In other words, that's not my business. How many families have been broken up by this inheritance and money? What's going on here? Money? Going to destroy. This guy's saying, tell me. And he's trying to get Jesus to do. He said, that's not my business. Verse 15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For once, so he's saying, this is what this guy's doing. He's again, you don't want to be this guy. He's commenting on what the dude just answered or just asked him. This guy's saying, hey, my brother and me, we're trying to figure out inheritance. Why don't you be a judge? And he said, that's none of my business. And then he directs and he says, beware of covetousness. That's what greedy, money minded. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. One's life does not consist in the abundance of what you got, the abundance of the things you possess. Does not. To listen to most people in the world, a lot of people in the world, you would think that is the point of life. Like Monopoly. We talked about some on Wednesday. I'm just saying this in this context. That the more you got, the right nice stuff you got, that is the point. That's the end game. He that has the most, you win. And that is not, Jesus flat out said, that is not the point of life. Amen. That's not it. Missing the boat. Jesus is saying in front of everybody. And then he gives this parable about this guy that thought he had everything. And he's going to die. And he's like, where's your stuff going to go? Now Jesus, now we go back to Matthew. Let's go to 6:31. So he's the first thing, but in the middle of this, he's saying, don't, you can't serve money and God. You cannot do it. If Jesus said you cannot. People try to straddle all the time. But you get to the point where you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to serve God or you're going to have to serve money. But you can't choose. In other words, what's determining what you do? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's what that means. That's their priority. That's what they're seeking. They're not seeking God. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. God knows. He's not stupid. He's not blind. But verse 33, but seek first, everybody say first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But that therefore is because he just got done saying, seek the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And in his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So you see, Jesus is saying, you can't serve God and money. And he said, don't worry about stuff. If you're serving God, if you're seeking him, you don't have to worry. And then he says, the Gentiles, they're seeking after all these things. So he said, don't say, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to get this? How am I going to get this? Then he says, because God knows, he said, God knows you need it all. That's a revelation right there. God knows everything we need on the earth. Does he or not? Does he know that you have this payment? Now, sometimes you get yourself into payments that you shouldn't have. That's a whole different thing. But he knows you need to eat. He knows you need to have clothes to wear. He knows you need a roof over your head. But if we submit it all to him, he said, I know you need it, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, they'll be added to you. So he said, seek first. What does first mean? It means first. Now go back to what he said. He said, you cannot serve God and money. So if it's like, I know that's what the Bible said, but I got this. What did we just do? What did we put as what is dictating what we do? It's the stuff. It's the money. I got this payment. You don't understand. I got this. No. Jesus said it. I didn't say anything. It's him. If he's first, he's first. The kingdom's first, not if I got some left over. Right? Okay. So look at what is the kingdom of God? Matthew 28, verse 19. So the kingdom of God, Matthew 28, 19, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now there's so many things I could get into, but I believe we're just going to start. I had my heart to get, I want to fly over some things and get in. And of course, like we went into some other scripture, we'll do that. But I want to try to get some thoughts out as the Spirit leads, of course. And then we may spend some more time. I believe we will. But it says, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mark 16, 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus is saying, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go therefore and make disciples. That's the commission. That is what we're to do. That is the bottom. You know, that's what we're doing on the earth. That's why we're on the earth. As Christians, it's for his kingdom to make disciples. In other words, God's things are more important. To tell people about Jesus, for people to come up in the things of God, and to serve him in all capacity. In other words, anything that's about him and his kingdom, that's number one. That's the whole reason as a Christian. It's not anything else. That is what he's about, is people. Amen. And money can't buy people. Money, but it can't buy, only the blood of Jesus could buy people. Could make the way for us to be right with him. But we can use money to bless people. We can use money into his kingdom. We can use money into getting together and to make a path to support people that are preaching the gospel in other places, to support what we're doing here so that we can get together, to support other ministries, to support what God is doing. That is, we can use money for that. Look at Psalm 49, verse 6. So that is God's heart. That is what's important to him. But look at this. And we read this again in another context, a dinner message. But Psalm 49, verse 6, or I guess it was in Tithes and Offerings a few weeks ago. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. And go back to verse 7. It says, none of them, people that boast in the amount of money, can none of them come by any means redeem his brother, nor to give God a ransom for him. For redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. And the NIV, verse 8, says, the ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. In the Living Bible, it says, for a soul is far too precious to be ransomed by mere earthly wealth. There is not enough of it in all the earth to buy eternal life for just one soul to keep it out of hell. In other words, money, the richest person on the face of earth cannot buy one person. Think about that. One person. To save a person, no human being has the power, the ability to redeem somebody from hell. Only Jesus does. So in other words, that currency, what the world holds dear, can't buy one person. What people go, oh, I'd love to have that. God is saying that can't buy a person. A person, therefore, if all the money in the world can't buy one person, which is more valuable, people or money? Everybody, even unbelievers, go, oh yeah, people are more. Yeah, but how do we live our lives? What's first? Kingdom of God, is that first? Or is something else first? Is the seeking after this stuff first? Look at Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in unrighteous mammon, again, that's money. We saw that from the other. If you've been faithful in money, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what's your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What did he just get done saying in verse 11? Go back. Said you'll be faithful. Well, let's just read verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. So if you're faithful in the little thing, you'll be faithful in the bigger thing. If you're not faithful in the little thing, you won't be faithful in the big thing. That's what Jesus is saying. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So what's he saying? What's true riches? Is it money? He just got done saying, if you're not faithful in money, which is the least, if you're faithful in something small, be faithful in something big. He said, if you're not faithful in money, who's going to commit to you something that's really important? Do you know that's opposite the way the world looks? They go, oh, this, the movers and shakers, this works. You know, that's not the way the Bible says it. Kingdom of God, one person worth all the money, worth more than all the money in the world. All the money in the world can't buy one person. So we got to recalibrate, because the world will tell you, oh, go after this, go after this, go after this, get. And we can just be blind going, well, I'd like to do such and such, but But we just got to let the word of God be the word of God. When he said put something first, we need to go, all right, that's first. I trust you. See, that is the context where he said, don't worry. People lift that out and say, hey, God's got you, don't worry. No, he said, don't serve money. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And he said, therefore, don't worry. See, if we're in that position, we're like, God, everything I have is yours. I'm going to do with my money what you tell me to do and all my finances what you tell me to do. And I'm not worrying about if I'm going to have enough. You know why? I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm seeking first your kingdom while I'm here on the earth. I'm going to make it count. I know people are the real deal and this money is nothing. It's just a means of exchange. So I am not going to worry about it. That's the context. That's the context where he's where what he's saying. He's not saying just that we should just do whatever and then we just don't worry. No, we can get ourselves if people are worried about money all the time because that's what they're putting first. But that's not what he said. He said, you trust God. You don't have to worry. Now, look real quickly, Matthew 6:19. This is before the verses that we read before. He said, you can't serve God in money. So he said, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Just the stuff on this earth, it decays. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. It works. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to go. But it also works. Where your treasure goes, that's where your heart is. It works. Like you put a lot of money in something, it's like people would say, I got skin in the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't care about a lot of stuff, a lot of investments around because they're not your investments. But the minute you have an investment, you have money in it, now it's like, well, I care. Like, you don't care. If the stock market's going up and down and you don't have any stock, you're like, well, you know, if you're a kid, and you're like, yeah, what do people get so up in arms about that? Well, wait till, you know, you have your money in there and it goes up and it's going down. You're like, well, that I just lost $10,000 because of that. Or, you know, you don't lose it till you sell it, but, or $1 million. So where your money is, that's your treasure. That's where your heart's going to be. It works in all areas. So Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be in stuff that's going to rot, that's not going to be here. Put your money and your heart into something that's going to be forever, which is God values people, God's kingdom. So this is something that is throughout Scripture. And we're going to just look at a few scriptures here. This dynamic, look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. And I know people, you know, we've been talking about the last, on Sunday, I think three times, we've been talking about the importance of the word, right? And then on Wednesdays, we've been talking about the parable of the sower, that the sower sows the word comes, and I'm not going to preach that now, but the word comes out and things happen to try to steal the word. There's four categories. The first one is the word comes, and just really quick, the word comes and Satan comes immediately and tries to steal it. And then it doesn't do any good, doesn't bear fruit. He likens it to sowing seed. The second one is the word is sown. It starts like a plant starts coming up, and it says the word is sown, people receive a joy they're excited about, but as soon as stuff pushes because of the word, they let it go. That's the second category. Third category is what we read earlier, where the word is sown, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things coming in, they choke the word. So that derails it. And then the last category is people, the word comes forth and some receive it, do it, bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. That's the category we want to be in. Yeah. So this is what happens. We've been talking about these things, the importance of the word, the sowing of the word. So when the word comes forth, we want to be we want our lives to be dictated by what the Bible said, not any person. And I'm fully aware in 2026, the history of people talking about money in church. there's been scandals. There's been stuff. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. There was Christian world rocking things where people that were very esteemed found out they're stealing money and all that stuff. That gives a black eye to the kingdom of God. And then people think, well, see, they're just stealing. But just because there's people stealing doesn't undo the word of God. See, that's why we can't follow people. You can't fall, and we can't get our eye on people. Yeah, we learn from people. We follow in the sense that we're running with people. We learn the word of God from people. But when that happens, you can't, well, God's not faithful, or the God's word isn't true. That's, no, we got to be, our foundation's got to be on the word of God for our life. And money and the kingdom of God, it's a sensitive thing. People are like, don't talk about that. Well, it's in the word of God. How much? Jesus is saying people worry about this all the time. And we would be lying and say, well, I don't care about money. Oh, really? Don't have any, don't go to the grocery store, don't have a house, you know, don't have an apartment, don't have a car. You're above it, right? That's not true. We all deal with it. It's what place it has in our life. So if we want to know, I want to know what the word of God says so that I can go to God. So I can be in that category where Jesus is saying, don't worry. And I say, well, I'm doing what God told me to do, so I'm not going to worry. See, if I'm not, I'm in that category that I'm, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do this? I just got to get more money. I got to do that. And we're being driven by that. That's not a good place to be. If I know what the word of God says, I can truly say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting a man. Remove the people from it who we base it on the word of God. Because, yeah, there are people that have been dishonest and ungodly and made every pastor and preacher look bad because of their dishonesty. But that doesn't do away with the word of God and the real that we have a mission on the earth to get done. All of us. And we're going to be held accountable. So nobody likes to hear that. We're going to, not in a bad way, but we're going to, when we go before Jesus, we're going to give account of what we did on the earth. And if the sin and things we did, that's under the blood of Jesus. So don't think you're going to get up there and they're going to put, people preach this stuff. You're going to put up a big movie screen. Everybody's going to see all the bad stuff you did wrong. No, they're not. That's unbiblical. Thank God. Thank God, because I mean, every one of us, none of us wants everything we did up on a movie screen. You're just like, oh, Lord. No, that's under the blood of Jesus. It's done away with. He puts it, but the things we did, what did we do with what he told us? What did we do with our time, our talent, our resources? Well, I mean, you could go any number of ways. In the world, there's things that we could say, I did this, and the people in the world, I'm saying, without God would say, well, that's awesome. It's going to be judged in the kingdom of God. Well, I made all this money. What'd you do with it? Because that money doesn't mean anything here. You can't buy one person. See these people? Only my blood could do that. Did you use it to bless the king? Did you use it like I told you? Or did you say, well, no. Man, there's this preacher in the 80s. He did this, so I said, forget it. I don't have anything to do with that. Do you think that's going to work with Jesus? He said, what did I say in my word? Which is why we're covering this. I don't want to stand ignorantly before God. Be like, well, so-and-so said this. No. I want to know what the word of God said, the Bible. I want to fall in the right category. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Well, he's saying, okay, now, he's saying these people are off in the weeds. They're doing a bunch of stuff. And he said, they're useless wranglings of men with corrupt minds and destitute of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. And he's going to say what he just said here. But notice that he said, these people are supposing that godliness is a means of gain. That means godliness is a way to make money. You know, that's gone into the ditch too. And I believe the word of God wants, and I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Word of God wants us to be blessed and prosper. But you know, people have gone in the weeds with this and they use it. They use Bible verses to justify greed. And they use Bible, they use it. Oh, really? I can just do what I can basically seek money, but slap the Bible on and I'm just like, it's sanctified. Now I've sanctified my greed. You sanctify, like set apart, make it holy. I fully That there is absolutely people that have done that. And it's not the Bible. It's not putting the kingdom first. It's basically saying, oh, great, now I have this way of making money that I can put the Bible verses and basically do what the world does, which is seek money. And I'm talking about people that would say their word of faith. If you don't know what that means, I mean just that they believe the word, they're going to confess the word. All they're confessing the word on is I'm going to be blessed. That's selfish. That's covetous. That's not what the Bible teaches. Read what the disciples, what the apostles went through. They laid down everything to preach the gospel. It is not a means to make money. Nope. Look at the next thing. First Timothy 6, verse 6. So that's the balance. I get that. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Everybody clear on that? We are not taking any of our stuff with us. The Bible says the streets in heaven are paved with gold. It is not that big of a deal. I tell you to read about the throne of God and everything. They are not impressed with a watch. I'm not against watches or a necklace or like, ooh, I got this, you know, bougie thing that's just decked out. They're like, really? We use that for pavement. They'd be like, you bring in any chunk of asphalt going, look at this. Right? It's just not that impressive. God made all the precious metals in the universe. It's not impressive to him. Look at these diamonds. Yeah, it's like, there you go. You know, diamonds are nothing. Gold is nothing. People is precious. Faith is precious to God. He's not pressed with stuff. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Oh, we're just probably going to float over that right now, but oh, that'll blow up so many things that talk about, oh, it's just all about what you have. The Bible said that you'll be content. Doesn't say that's all you should have, but you're going to be content. It's not all about the stuff. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich. So, well, I don't desire to be rich. I mean, I just want this. No, rich means you have everything you need. But people do desire to be rich. Like, well, I want this X, this amount. Fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction of perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 10, for the love of money. It didn't say money. Money's neutral. Money doesn't, it's neutral. It doesn't, it becomes what it's used for. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. People have actually got off because they're seeking money. But didn't Jesus say you can't serve both? He said, you're going to despise one, you're going to hate one, you're going to love the other. He said, yeah, you go after the stuff, it's going to mess you up from stuff that's truly precious. People do it all the time. They lay down their life, and they're like, I'm just for a short period of time, I'm going to make this money. Except it's a hook in you, and they put down precious things. Not even talking about the kingdom of God, put down precious things. They lay down their health. Well, I'll get to work out later. I got to get this done. Well, I mean, I'll spend time with the kids later. There'll be time for that later. Precious stuff going back. Investing in children. You don't get that opportunity. You can't shelve that. When it's gone, it's gone. That is infinitely more precious than, well, but I'm making a good foundation for them. Lies. This is not serving God. It's saying, but I have to do this versus this. God's not against. You can serve God and be blessed, but the thing is, what do we put first? Look at Haggai 1, verse 3. Oh, praise God. Help me. Get done. Get through this, because you know, like I said, we might break some stuff down, but I want to get out what's in my heart this morning. Haggai 1, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? He's talking about the temple of God was not being taken care of, yet they're buying themselves big houses. And he's coming to them, go, is it time for you to live in this stuff when the temple's not taken care of? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. He's talking about crops. You've put in a lot, but you're not bringing in. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with wine. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag of holes. In other words, you're trying to do stuff, but it seems like it just keep goes. The money comes in, but it goes away. That's what he's telling them. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. I'm just showing you some examples. This is throughout the Bible where people have gotten to where they are putting the money first. This is the prophets correcting them and saying, you're putting your stuff first. You ought to be taking care of God's things first. He said, consider your ways, verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I might take pleasure in and be glorified, says the Lord of hosts. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins. While every one of you runs to his own house. In other words, what is that? Putting the money first instead of the kingdom of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. There, he's saying, you're putting the stuff first. And that's why you don't have enough. And sure, people in the world can go off and try to make money and do it. Say, well, they're doing it. Yeah, they're not a Christian and in the kingdom of God. Number one, they're not accountable to God. They're not fighting the word. But also, you have an adversary, and when the devil, and he is going to hit you to try to get you to knock off God's word. The world, he's like, yeah, they're killing themselves anyway. Go ahead. So he is telling them, you're doing the wrong thing. You're out of order. Because of my house, so verse 9, you looked for much, indeed it came to little. You brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains and on the grain and the new wine and the oil and whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and all the labor of hands. In other words, it's not working for you. It's being held back. Why? Because you're putting it out of order. But Jesus said, you do it, put it in order, the stuff, it'll work. Now look at this, the same thing. Throughout the word we just read in 1 Timothy, the love of money put first, Jesus said, don't seek, you can't put them, you can't serve God in money. Seek first the kingdom of God. Here Haggai is saying that. Malachi 3, verse 8. This is the last book in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, before Matthew in the New Testament. Look what it says, Malachi 3, 8. Verse 8, will a man rob God? He's going through and telling them where they have been missing it in all these things. And here he addresses this area. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now tithe, I'm going to get off on this because we'll probably talk about this more, but tithe means 10%. It is not a religious term. Tithe is not like a gift. It literally, if you look in other versions, they'll bring that out. A tithe is a tenth. So he's saying, you've robbed me. What have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So tithes, 10%, anything above 10% is an offering. That's what it is. So he's saying, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. So he said, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What does that mean? 10%. That's what he's saying here. He's telling them, you've put the wrong thing first. You're trying to do your other thing. Put what I told you, because throughout the Word of God, the Bible teaches that you tithe and then you bring offerings. And it's not undone in the New Testament. I'm not going to go over all it, but it's not undone. So that Malachi is saying, you've robbed. You haven't done what I told you to do. Now we're just talking about what the Word says. Malachi is rebuking him, saying, you have not done this, but then look at this. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Is that not like what Haggai was saying? He's like, you're building your stuff. You're not building the temple first. He's saying, bring the tithes that we can do what we're supposed to do in the temple. It's the same thing. Put the kingdom of God first. Malachi is saying the same thing. You do this. Now look what he's going to say next. You bring it in so that the things, my things, are taken care of first. Everybody say first.
First.
It's first. It's not, well, let's see. You know how it works when you say, well, let's see if I have something at the bottom. Nope, it's never there. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now notice this. And try me. Try me. This is God. This is through the prophet. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I'm going to keep reading. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for this, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So God said, he is correcting these people and the Israelites, and he's saying through Malachi, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You have not put me first. And then he says in verse 10, let's go back there, bring. So now he's correcting it. Bring all the tithes. That's 10%. You bring it first. That's what the Bible says. Bring it first. And then he says, that there may be food in my house for my things, and try me now in this. He's saying, I dare you. This goes along with what Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You got to choose. And if it's always like, man, I'd like to tithe. I've heard about that. But no, I have this. We just made a decision. See, this is historical. People have done this throughout history. They always have a reason. But the reason isn't faith. The reason isn't putting God's stuff first. It's just, it's doing what we reason it out, and it's not what the Word of God says. If we'll just do what God said, then we'll have what He told us we'd have. If we say, God, you said to put it first, I'm not going to seek the stuff. I'm seeking you. I'm not going to serve money. I'm going to serve you. So I don't know how I'm going to do this. Because that's where it comes to. People say, I don't know. Look at the bank account. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I've been there. That's where faith comes. That's where the rest comes. You say, God, but at your word. It's not because somebody preached. I have to get it to where I like, that's what you said. And Lord, I trust you. And I believe you. And I'm not seeking my stuff. And you said with food and clothing, I'd be content. And I want, when I'm in heaven, to have things that I did that truly matter. Not that I build a bunch of stuff and be like the rich fool that was like, I built a bunch of barns and it didn't amount to anything. I want to be standing in your presence going, these people are sparkling. Wow, I'm so glad I didn't do it for that gold on earth. And so we have to get to where it's like, God, I don't know, but here we go. And that's the rest. That's like, well, this is up to you. I'm doing to the best of my ability. I'm doing what you told me to do. If I'm going, well, I don't know. I got to do this. I don't know where it come from. See, we got to do it before we see it. That's faith. And what did he say? Bring all the tithes. See, who wouldn't want this? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me. He's going, I dare you. Try it. Now, you got to stay with it. You don't be like, well, I tried it and I'm out. No, you do it. But he's saying, if you do it, my word, before heaven, all the angels, I am speaking this, the Lord. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, you will continually have what you need. Amen. Say, well, am I going to have X amount of money? You have an abundant supply. That's when you need it, it's there. You know, what is abundance to one person is not abundance to other. If you've got $1 million and you have $800,000 of bills, you're in the black. But if you got $1 million and you got $5 million worth of bills, you're up a creek without a paddle. You're like the other dude, I had $1 million, but I owe $4 million. Same, you could just keep going up to, oh, you're so rich. Yeah, you don't know what everybody's debts are. But you go to God and you say, here we go. you have God's word on it. He'll say, it'll be more than enough. But you don't back off because there may be pressure. You're like, well, I don't know how we're going to do this, and you quit. That's not what he said. He said you would have more than enough. And it may look like there's no way. I mean, I've been there. There's no way. I don't know. I've been doing it. There's no way it's I don't know where it's going to come from. Boom. There it is. That was not reference to the 80. That's whoomp. There it is. But anyway, forget that. Edit that out. But anyway, boom. There. It's like, I don't know, but boom. There. It's there, and you have it. And you're like, I don't know how. And you take a step. It's like, it's not there. And there it is. Because he said you would have an abundance. It'll keep going. See, what we want to do is go, just give it to me all, and then I have it, and then I know I can just do it. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's greed. That's like the rich fool. He's like, I got $1 million. I'm going to spend it. He's like, and God says, you're going to die. You're a fool. You're going to be in the Bible for being a fool. No, it was a parable. It wasn't real. But it's like, I don't want that. So yes, there's faith. If we're going to put first the kingdom, we're going to be like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but God at your word. And the push will be, the money will try to push on you. Serve me. Sir, you've decided I'm tithing, I'm giving, I'm putting God's kingdom first. And then the pressure comes. You're like, I don't know how to do this. The money will say, bow your knee. You get back over here. You put that down, bow your knee, and stop tithing, stop giving. You stop doing what God told you to do. It'll try to get you to be you to go under and be a slave. But when you go and say, I trust God, then God said, Jesus said, you don't have to worry. I'll take care of you. Okay, with food and clothing. See, it's got to be here. With food and clothing, you will be content. You're like, even if I lose everything, I'm still serving God, and I'm still going to do what God said. Well, at that point, you're untouchable. But you know what happens? People go, oh, no, I can't lose this. Oh, well, and I know I can't do that. Well, where's my God? That I just showed it that I'm serving the money. But God said, I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Proverbs 3:10-9, we're winding up. Just saying a few scriptures here. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor. Honor is, I honor you. When you honor, there's a term called an honorarium, like you know, for somebody speaking, you're paying it, you're giving them something that's worth something. When we're giving God honor and glory, we sing about it. Here it says honor. How? With the words? Oh, God, I just honor you, but oh, no. I can't, I don't know how I'm going to do it. He said, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. And then he says, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, people have used this and go, oh, got it. That's my lever to pull. I'm going to get rich. And I heard it at church. The preacher said, it's like a slot, but you know, slot lever. I got the lever to pull. I'm going to get rich. I give to God and I get. And then if you start working and you're like, man, I'm doing what God told me to do and I don't see it. And what's happening? And you're like, well, this isn't getting rich. I don't like this. Well, that just showed up. Heart. What am I doing it for? Am I doing it? Am I using that lever that I heard in church and a scripture that got posted above my mirror to try to get rich, or am I doing it to serve the kingdom of God for people? Amen. That's where that'll break down. We'll find out that we're loving money or we're serving money versus serving God. But when you say, take your best shot. I'm serving God. I got his word. You know, as long as I'm breathing, as long as I can eat, as long as I got food on my head, because you know the apostles, they went through a lot of stuff. I'm serving God anyway because I believe him and he will not be a debtor to any person. Amen. God will not, well, I gave and God didn't respond. No, he will never be a debtor to a person. And so then it comes and we're like, take your best shot. We're free at that point. See, then you're like, what Jesus said, don't have a care because I'm serving God and you can't touch me. You can't, you can't, You can't take anything away from me when I've already laid it all down. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, that's lightly esteem, shall be lightly esteemed. You say, ah, God, yeah, but I got to do this. This is important. God said, if you honor me, he, the king of the universe, will honor you. Oh, not going to get off it, but someday we're going to stand before him. And what we did for the kingdom of God is going to be honored. And you want to be there. You want to be honored that way. Not like, well, I honored myself with this pavement, this asphalt. Now I'm here in all this glory. And I'm like, what did I do? God's not mad. I mean, I don't know. We're walking through, but I'd rather just be like, yes, I saw it correctly. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that I made the right decision. That's going to happen. It's going to be real. Praise God. Let's close with this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give. Now let's give. He already told us tithe, but give above that. And he's talking about an offering. He's talking about giving for some specific people. But he's saying, let what each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity. That means nobody's twisting your arm, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're not supposed to give because somebody is breathing out our neck saying, give, 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 give. God's not that way. He gives us the choice. He gives us his word. He said, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. You do what you want. Is there any downside to not giving, tithing? Yeah, you don't get what he said. He's not going to smite you. We live in the new covenant, but you're also going to forfeit. I'm going to pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it. He said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Again, it's not talking about tithing. People try to say, well, tithing's done away. No, it's been throughout the even before the law, it's been there and nothing undid it. And anyway, in the new covenant, why shouldn't we outdo people in the old covenant? If we're born again and have the covenant of Jesus, are we letting Old Testament people go, well, they used to give this much, but now we don't? No. No, we honor God because we have so much more. So we don't do it because somebody twisted our arm, but we let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. You don't do it because out of like, well, God, I guess I'll give. No, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when people say, I believe you. I trust you. Here we go. I'm going to do what you said to do. I'm done with this in this life. I'm not serving anything else. I'm serving you. And so I love a cheerful giver when we're like, God, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to serve you with my resources. And I trust you because you're more important and your things are more important than anything on this earth. That's the heart that we go to God with. And then finally, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, that's ability, that's endowment, abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Does that sound like I will pour out the windows of heaven for you? That you won't have never enough to receive it. Does that sound like when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, they'll be added to you. You're not adding them to yourself. He's adding them to you. And when he adds them to us, we can handle it. He's not going to, you know, you see it over and over. People get beyond their character and they get a bunch of money and they destroy themselves. God will never do that. But you always have what you need when you're trusting him. And we're putting the kingdom of God first, his things first, his people first. And then we just trust him with his word, with what he said. We walk in faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith and we honor him. Amen.